The scripture reading today is from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, and Colossians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Also, one can be overpowered, but two together can put up resistance. A three-ply cord doesn't easily snap. Love is more important than anything else. It is what ties everything completely together. Each one of you is part of the body of Christ, and you were chosen to live together in peace. So let the peace that comes from Christ control your thoughts, and be grateful. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Almighty and precious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and uplifting to you, O Lord our God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We find ourselves in the second week of a sermon series that we've come to call Frayed. And what we discuss is this idea of being caught up in a world that seems to be pulling at us in so many different directions, separating us and pulling us and isolating us, so many different things, dividing our attention, our time, our energy, our money. Almost the narrative that we get sold is that the world almost seems as if it's the worst that it's ever been, that it's coming apart at the seams. But the reality in the gospel message is that we serve a God who weaves the world together, a God that ties us and brings us together. I feel like you've heard that reflected in the music and the prayers this morning. And as we open up God's word and as we share together, I hope you find that message to be true as well. One of the enduring themes of the entire scriptures, as you look at it in a whole, is this assurance that we are not alone. Almost this idea that we have been given to each other to be in this life together, to be strong for each other so there's areas of our lives that we can be weak because we can lift each other up and hold each other up. And so part of this sermon I hope that y'all will help me out on as we share stories of ways that we can be there for each other, maybe a person in our lives that has been somebody that we could lean on. And so I'm curious to ask you, who is your best friend? Who is the person that has been there for you? Somebody that you could talk to. I see a little finger pointing over there. Where did y'all meet?
In high school.
In high school? All right.
And best friend, married
55 years. 55 years. Amen. And do you feel like you're stronger together than you would have been apart? Amen. Amen. What about some others? Not to put husbands on the spot here. I get it. What are some others? Who is a best friend? Somebody that has been there for you, that has supported you, and has lifted you up.
I know it sounds corny, but it's
Jesus.
Jesus is my best friend.
There you go. Absolutely. Yeah. That's not corny. Yeah. Your wife? What's a way that you feel like you're stronger because of your marriage? You're alive because of her. Amen. She's there for you when you need her. Amen. I think of my best friend in high school is probably the one friend that I've had longer than anyone else. As I grew up in the military, we moved every couple of years, and so we only had a couple days that, or a couple years rather, that we could really get to know somebody before we moved off and sort of lost touch. And so I don't really have any contact with anybody in my life before high school. I had best friends in kindergarten in the third grade, and I had best friends in the fourth grade in different places all over the world, but I've never kept track with them, even with Facebook. We just never tracked each other down. And so it's only people sort of later on in my school age years that I really found somebody that I connected with. But it's interesting. Do any of y'all have maybe something like this where you have a school age friend that you're still close, but maybe you don't talk very often, maybe just a couple times a year, maybe just once a year? Does anybody have a friend like that? Yeah. You don't feel separated even though you haven't had that contact in a long time, right? It's interesting the connections that we can have with somebody that even when maybe we don't see them even every day, or we talk to them just once or twice a year, we can still feel that connection, that they understand us, that we still share a life together even if it's just moments, just here and there spread out over distances. Now, when one of those relationships is sort of damaged, or we feel almost as something has happened and we're isolated, we have a fight, or there's been a tragedy, and we feel as if a relationship has been severed. It feels almost as if there's something within of us, part of our soul or our heart, has been severed, or frayed, or damaged. Imagine for a moment, if you will, the disciples. What they must have felt as they spent years with Jesus, walking throughout the different areas of Judea and Israel, all the way from Jerusalem in the south to Galilee and Nazareth up in the north, the cities and the towns, the miracles that they shared together, the meals that they must have had as they walked and as they talked. And then imagine, after the crucifixion, the loss, the devastation that they must have felt as Jesus was taken from them, crucified, put in a tomb, and buried. But then 3 days later, they begin to hear stories and rumors. They begin to hear that Jesus is alive. And in some of the Gospels, there are stories of how he began to appear to them, to speak to them, to show up. And it finally culminates in the first part of the book of Acts as they stand on the Mount of Ascension. Now, I'd like to think that the disciples, they ask him questions as they're standing on top of this mountain, almost as if to ask, what comes next? You finally arrived to do the one thing, to sort of move your kingdom and to take over as you've been saying that you were going to do. And instead of Jesus moving into Jerusalem to establish the kingdom of God, instead Jesus ascends into heaven. He leaves. He's gone. So you can imagine what that relationship with that friend that they had, their teacher, their rabbi, their God, as they're standing on the top of a mountain, watching their relationship with Jesus get further and further stretched until he's gone, hidden by a cloud. And the book of Acts says that the disciples were staring up into the heavens. They were staring up at the clouds until an angel appeared and said to them, "What are you looking at? He's not there anymore. But he'll come back the same way that you saw him leave." Imagine what their relationship must have felt like at that time. That this God that they had so close, that they could touch, that they could rely on, that had saved them, that had been there for them, that had taught them, that had fed them, was now all of a sudden gone and distant. Their relationship almost as if it's frayed and split and severed. And as disciples sort of lowered their eyes from the heavens and the clouds, you can imagine as they looked around the top of that hill, they saw each other standing there, waiting for what happens next. And the truth is that Jesus had prepared them for this moment. In fact, in the Gospel of John, y'all might have heard this scripture during Maundy Thursday, during Holy Week. But this idea that on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, that night as he took his disciples out, after he washed their feet, he told them, "One final commandment that I give you. One final lesson and rule that I have for you to live by. Love each other. Love each other as I have loved you. And the world, everyone else, they will know that you are my disciples because of that way that you love each other." He's almost preparing them for the moment to where we feel like when our relationship with God gets stretched or severed, where we feel distant and separated, isolated from God. God says, "I know that there will be a time when you feel like that. But in that moment, you'll still have others with you. Love each other as I have loved you. And that others will know that you are my disciples by the way that you love each other." Now, kind of like how some of y'all said, the way that you love each other or the way that you're there for each other, sometimes maybe it sounds corny. But the reality is it's life and death, just like you said. That when those that we've loved, they save us. They save us from ourselves. They save us from our bad decisions. They create a new way of life that we never could have had on our own. The church was never supposed to survive without Jesus. That was the plan all along. That's what the temple authorities, that's what the Roman military, the government had planned all along, that if they could kill Jesus, the church was never supposed to live or survive. But Jesus had a different story, had a different plan than that. In fact, he took it a step further and he left himself. But before he left, he said to his disciples that you belong to each other. Love each other as I have loved you. And you will know that you are my disciples by the way you love each other. And you would think after the disciples came down off that mountaintop after Jesus left, the anxiety, the stress, the fear that they must have felt as they moved back into a city that was still actively seeking to arrest and to kill them. But they had each other. And how long this fledgling church could possibly last in a city that kills the priests and the prophets? It lasted a pretty good while, even until today, as we still gather and worship, and we pray, and we sing, and we wait for the movement of God, and God still says to us, "You belong together." And the disciples, over the days and the weeks and the months that passed, even the years, they began to pull back together. And in what the world had thought would make them the weakest and the most vulnerable that they would ever be, in fact, God began to make them stronger than they ever imagined. And the church began to spread. And it began to multiply. And they began to perform miracles. And they began to preach with boldness and with good news. And they spread all throughout the known world at that time. To where we find the words of one of our scripture readings out of Colossians this morning. That even after some time, as the gospel had spread, Paul comes and he encourages the church. And he says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. We are better together than we have ever been on our own. As God has called us from different stories and different situations in our life, and he has pulled us back together with friends, with loved ones, with church members, with those members in the community, with neighbors and strangers, to help support and to bind each other together. As we pull back together, we find ourselves stronger than we ever imagined we could be before. Now, one thing that's unique about ministry in this particular church is we have a small group ministry. And that small group ministry is starting this Wednesday night. And there's small groups that have been going on for some time, and there's new ones that are starting up. But small groups are an opportunity in a way that we see as a church to draw back together, to pull together, to support each other, to pray for each other, and to become stronger and more accountable, to become disciples. Because Jesus warned us even from the very beginning, even without saying it, that if we become isolated and if we try to do this on our own, we will never last. The world will pull us apart faster than we can ever imagine. It's only in pulling back together that we can truly experience the grace and the strength of God. In your bulletins this morning, you might have noticed that there's a small groups brochure that was included. And this was put together over the last couple weeks, and there's a list of different Sunday school options that meet on Sunday mornings. There's Sunday afternoons, there's Mondays and Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and different groups that meet on Thursdays. If you have an opportunity to look over this particular brochure to find if there's a class that you might be interested in, but also think about those that you might be able to invite, those that might be able to benefit from having a group that can pray for them, to support them. And find a ways that we can pull some others into a circle of support, to where we can care for each other, pray for each other, and truly live out in a very real way what it means to be the community of God, to pull back together. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks for your word. Lord, we give you thanks for your Holy Spirit, which reminds us, Lord, that we are more than just ourselves. As you pull us back together into the family and the kingdom of God, we are reminded, Lord, that we are stronger than we have ever been with your Spirit binding us and pulling us back together. And so, Lord, as we come before this table today, allow us to remember all that you have done for us, Lord, from your kingdom to even today, that we might be your children for your kingdom. Amen.